Full disclosure, I love the parable of the sower. For one, because I think the word picture is just super vivid. Like as you're reading, you're like, okay, like I get this. I really understand this. But also I love the parable of the sower because of Jesus' words in verse 13 of Mark chapter 4. He says, "Do you not understand this parable? How will you understand all the parables?" And so basically Jesus says, you know, if we can't get this thing down, everything else it's going to be a struggle too. So I always love coming back to this parable just to make sure that we have it down. And so this morning we're going to talk about choosing your own soil. We've already had the parable read for us, and in the parable of the sower, Jesus shows that there are four different kinds of people in the world, and he uses the different kinds of soils in order to represent each category of people. And so our action or our reaction, that's what determines what kind of soil we are. Verse 14, it tells us that the seed is the word. That's what the sower is sowing, i.e., that's the Bible, that's the word of God, that's the things that God has communicated to people. The word is what we are reacting to. And so our response to the word, that lets us know what kind of soil we are. And so I want us to understand that everyone here is one of the four. I think a lot of times we find ways to excuse ourselves or act like we aren't one of the four. Maybe we don't want to actually be that soil. Maybe we're embarrassed by that. Or maybe it's just like really hard to accept that we are actually that soil. But if you are behaving like one of the soils that is described here, then we all need to be on board with the fact that that's who we really are. But I think the real beauty in all of this is that it's our behavior. That our behavior is what makes that determination. It's not like we just got lucky or unlucky. We just so happen to be this soil. It's not that God forced us to be this way. It's our decisions. It's our actions in these circumstances. That's what proves which soil we are. So if we want to be a different soil, then we have the ability to change our actions in order to reflect that. And so I've got two questions that I want us to keep in mind as we're going through the lesson. Number one, which of these soils describes where you are right now? Which one is your current state? You know, when we read through Jesus' explanation, if we get to a description that sounds like you, be honest about that. Find some way of acknowledging that this is who I am now. Maybe it's a mental note, maybe you have to write something down, but say, this is me now. And secondly, which one of these soils do you want to be? You know, when we read through the explanations, when you hear one and you're like, man, like, I really wish that was me. That's the one that I want to be. Again, make a mental note of that. Write something down. Essentially, what we're going to do this morning is we're going to take a diagnostic. We're going to see where we are now. We're going to see where we want to go, and we're going to talk about what are the things we can do in order to get there. So let's pick up in verse 15 of Mark chapter 4. Jesus says, and this is in his explanation, he says, "These are the ones who are sown beside the road where the word is sown. And when they hear, immediately Satan comes and takes away the word which has been sown in them." And so verse 15, it gives us one soil, and really, it's no soil. The seed falls on the side of the road, and just like seeds in real life that might maybe fall on concrete, there's not going to be any growth there. The people in this group, they hear the word, and then they don't do anything about it. And I think there are two different people that can fall under this category. You've got the people who have done nothing when they hear the gospel message. They hear the word, and I think it's important to recognize that even these people, they have the opportunity to hear and then do what's right, but they hear the gospel message, and then they don't make any of the changes that the word requires. And there's many reasons that somebody might do this. Maybe it's family pressure that causes people to not respond to the gospel. You know, there's many people today where obeying Jesus means disobeying parents, and that means that there's going to be friction with family. Maybe they're even going to be cut off completely. You know, I've had plenty of friends where I could feel like they knew what they were supposed to do, but they would always resort back to something like, well, you know, my grandma does X, Y, Z, or yeah, I understand that, but people in my family are, and you can fill in the blank with whatever. And so sometimes family pressure, that's what makes people show that they have no soil. Sometimes people reject the word just simply because they don't care. You know, they're not really worried about life after death. They're not worried about being the kinds of people that God would want them to be. You know, that's not even really something that's on their radar. So because they don't have a motivation to obey, there's no soil for the word to grow them. Other times people might reject the word because of the changes that they're going to have to make. Maybe they live a certain kind of life already, and they understand that if they follow Jesus, well, now they're not going to be able to do those things. They're going to have to live a different way. I actually heard a coworker one time. He said, you know, I would go to church, but you know, I can't give up drinking. And obviously that was before I was employed as a preacher that person made that statement. But you can see, like, sometimes there are people who they don't even give the word a chance. There is no soil. There's nothing there for the word to allow them to grow. You know, sometimes people already have barriers set up so that the word, it can't penetrate their heart and it can't penetrate their lives. There is no soil. But I think another behavior that would fall under this category too is when someone rejects a specific aspect of the word. You know, typically I think we view this group as strictly just like non-believers, and I think that's true that they are in that category, but I think anytime someone disobeys or disregards the word, maybe there's a specific change that the word would require you to make and you don't make it, you know, you are proving that you lack soil. You know, for example, if I have a problem with my language and I know that the Bible says that I need to speak in a certain way and not speak in another way, if I refuse to adjust my language, then I'm showing that I have no soil. I have hardened myself to the word to the point where the word is no longer penetrating my heart and my life. Because of the way I am behaving, I can't grow. I can't grow when I interact with the word in the way that I need to. And I think you can substitute that behavior with any kind of behavior, and it still works. Maybe it's submission that you struggle with, or loving the brethren the way that you're supposed to. Whatever the case may be, when we hear the word and we realize we need to make changes and then we don't, we are behaving as if we have no soil. And unfortunately, there are people here right now who fall under that category. There are people here today who are not allowing the word of God to change them into the kinds of people that God would want them to be, whether it's, you know, overall just living for themselves, or maybe there's a specific aspect. There are people who have no soil. So my question is does this describe you? Moving to the next one, verses 16 and 17, Jesus continues. He says, in a similar way, these are the ones on whom the seed was sown on the rocky places, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no firm root in themselves, but are only temporary. Then, when affliction and persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away. And so next up, Jesus says that some people are rocky soil. Now, this illustration that Jesus gives here, it really, really resonates to me because when I was in either the second or third grade, we had a science fair project that was involving planting seeds. We were supposed to get soil out of this one of those big Lowe's bags, and we were supposed to put our seed in, and then we were gonna go take care of it. Well, my buddy Stefan, he actually grabbed some soil from outside. And Stefan, he was my basketball buddy, so I have a lot of Stefan stories, and he probably has a lot of Cody stories too. But this is one of my earliest childhood memories. And I remember asking him, me and my buddy Travis, we said, Stefan, why does your soil have all this gravel in it? Like, he literally had like little pieces of rock, and there was some other stuff in it too. So it was obvious that he didn't do what he was supposed to do. Like, I don't even know where he found some of that stuff. But we were supposed to water our plants and move them in the sunlight, and we all did all that stuff at the same time. So theoretically, all of the plants were supposed to receive the same kind of care. Well, early on, Stefan's plant, I think it really looked like everybody else's. I feel like early on plants, they have a lot of like early growth, and so his grew just like everybody else's. But after a while, after maybe a couple of weeks, Stefan's plant it wasn't doing too hot anymore. Now, obviously, none of us are licensed gardeners or anything like that, so maybe that's where the parallel ends. But Jesus says that some people in life, they're kind of just like that. Early on, they're excited about this new life in Christ and what the Word can do for them and the changes that they're going to have to make. And that's an awesome time for people to be in. You know, have you ever been around like a new Christian who is just pumped about doing what they're supposed to do? You know, those people, they're never, ever going to sin again. They're going to save everybody, right? Like, I love the energy of the babes in Christ, but it's important to ground that enthusiasm because practically speaking, you know, once you come down off of cloud nine, the real world is still going to be there. And so Jesus says for the rocky soil, that growth and that joy that they experience, it's only temporary. And that's evidenced by their actions during times of affliction and times of persecution. You know, sometimes that affliction comes in the form of a lost loved one. You know, maybe it's somebody you were really close to, or maybe it was very unexpected, or maybe it was just one of those deaths where there is, like, no real way to understand, like, why did this happen? You know, in those moments, when times get really, really tough, the rocky soil falls away. But maybe the affliction comes with physical sickness or ailments for yourself. You know, the affliction comes with great pain, maybe even costs a lot of money in order to try to correct whatever's happening. And so now you're a believer and you're having to suffer with all of this physical pain. You know, in those situations, the rocky soil wavers. Or maybe it really is persecution. You know, currently in this country, we don't necessarily deal with the kind of persecution where someone's going to like run into your house and take all your stuff away and throw you in prison. But still, sometimes you can be treated badly because of how you behave as a Christian. You know, specifically to the younger crowd here, you know, at times there are going to be people who don't want to be around you, who don't want to hang out with you because you're not going to do certain things or talk a certain way. You know, how do you act in those moments? Or maybe it's a job. Maybe a job's going to pass you up on a promotion because you spend a little too much time on church stuff and not enough time on work stuff. You know, all of that, I would say, is persecution because of your faith. And the rocky soil cannot handle those situations. And so, again, my question is does that describe you? You know, when the going gets really, really tough, when you have to suffer in order to live the kind of life that you're supposed to, how do you respond? If your faith wavers and you start moving away from the Word in those moments, then you are the rocky soil. Moving forward in verses 18 and 19, and others are the ones on whom seed was sown among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard the word, but the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And so Jesus says sometimes people are going to be the thorny soil. And I think this is the one that we all need to be really, really sure that we guard ourselves against, because the thorny soil has some similarities to some of the other ones. Because I think for a time, the thorny soil, it does well. You know, verse 19, it ends, it says that they become unfruitful. So I think people who are the thorny soil, at some point, they were in fact bearing fruit. They were in fact at one point doing the things that they were supposed to. You know, there was a time where they were growing and they were producing and doing the right kinds of things. Maybe they helped a lot of people. Physically or spiritually. Maybe they've taken on some type of specific role within the congregation. They could be a deacon. They could be an elder or a preacher. The thorny soil has shown the ability to bear fruit. And so I think one way to know if you are the thorny soil is when you think about your fruit, when you think about the good things that you're doing, are you mainly thinking about things from the past? Like, when you think of the good things that you've done and the growth that you've experienced in Christ, do you have to think, like, really, really far back to really think of some of those things? Or can you think of current things, current fruit that you are bearing? The telltale with this group is the thorny soil is not currently fruitful. And the reason that Jesus gives for that is that, simply, they're distracted. They were fruitful, but at some point, there was another dominating influence in their life that it took their focus away from their fruitfulness. He says the worries of the world are a distraction. And there's a lot in the world to worry about, right? I was riding in a car with someone one time, and I think we were going on like a 3 or 4 hour drive, and we had the news station on the entire time. And the whole time, the people on the news were telling us all of these things that we really need to be worried about. I think at that time, it was like the next president, there was some type of state law that was going to be passed that was going to raise the state taxes. And there was a third thing that I couldn't remember. But the point is the news was telling us, yes, these are the things that you really need to be focused on. These are the things that are super important. Well, the thorny soil is going to be dragged away by those kinds of things. He says the deceitfulness of riches is another distraction. And again, I think that's a really big one for people in our culture. You know, it says that it's deceitful because I think we can get wrapped up in riches super quick, maybe even before we even realize. But, you know, if you spend more time, you know, concerned with your financial future rather than your spiritual future, then I think that means that you are probably distracted. If more of your daily or your weekly focus is on money, then you might be the thorny soil. And I think we need to be really careful there because there is, in fact, a balance. Right? Like there are literal life concerns that we have, and most of which I think God really wants us to take care of, especially if we have a family and if we have kids. But when we use that balancing act as an excuse to not spend time on the spiritual growth that we know that we need to, that's when we're proving to be the thorny soil. When our spiritual growth is not the number one dominating priority in our lives, then we open ourselves up to being distracted. And I love the last phrase that Jesus uses to describe the illustrations. He says it's just a desire for other things, and that's such a catch-all. That gets like everything else. Sure, it may not be wealth. Sure, it may not be the cares of the world. But if there is anything in your life that is more important to you than being fruitful to God, then this is your category. And so again, I ask, is this you? Like the other two, there are people here who are in this group, but you've got to be self-aware about it, and you've got to be honest with yourselves to know if we really are the thorny soil. And then lastly, verse 20, our last soil, Jesus says, and those are the ones on whom the seed was sown on the good soil, and they hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30, 60, and even 100-fold. And so, our last soil is the good soil, and Jesus is pretty simple with his description. The people in this soil, they hear the word, but they accept it as well. So when the word says that they need to do this, well, they do it. When the word says that they need to change that, well, then they change it. Now, these people have made up in their hearts that whatever the standard is for that the word gives for their lives, they are going to work to meet that standard. And they're fruitful while they're doing that. Like they are currently, right now, they are producing, they are doing good for the Lord and for his kingdom. And now this fruit can look like a lot of different things. It can be hospitality, it can be evangelism, it can be teaching. There are plenty of different ways that you can bear fruit. But the point is if you are the good soil, you are bearing fruit. And I think you can easily tell if this is someone's category just based on the way that you pattern your life. You know, if you are doing things that will allow you to be fruitful and staying away from things that will keep you from being fruitful, if you are seizing whatever opportunity you might have in order to bear fruit, then this soil describes you. So again, I ask, is that you? Which of these four soils describes where you are right now? You know, when it's just you and your thoughts, when you are honestly assessing yourself, you know, is there any soil at all? You know, do you obey God's word, or are you stubborn and you hear God's word and you just continue doing whatever it is that you want to do? Did you get off to a great start as a Christian? Did you just shoot up when everything was new and you were super energized for the Lord, but now you're not really doing the things that you need to? Are you that rocky soil because you've lost your enthusiasm because of the challenges in your life? Are you the thorny soil? Are you more motivated by other things, more motivated than you are as far as being fruitful and faithful to the Lord? You know, maybe it's riches, or maybe it's some of the other things that we can get involved with in this life. do you have more focus on other things than you have towards God? Or are you the good soil? You know, are you healthy? Are you thriving? Which one of these are you? You know, write it down or make a mental note. On November 21st, 2021, where are you? And then our second question is, okay, so which one of these do you want to be? If you could decide to be any one of these from this day moving forward, which would you be? You know, I can tell you that regardless of which one you want to be, this is the one that the Lord wants you to be. He wants healthy, productive, and thriving believers who are going to be fruitful and are going to do good things for his kingdom. Because God is the parable, is the sower in this parable. He is the one planting the crops. And just like a farmer, he has things that he wants his crops to do. He has work for you to do. He's got a purpose for you. So you need to choose today that this is going to be your soil moving forward. Again, whether you're the good soil or not, I think the key to being the good soil is that you have this dedication to continue being it. So if you're here and you're already the good soil, just stay focused on it. You know, keep being fruitful. Keep growing. Keep looking for even more ways to be even more fruitful moving forward. I think becoming stagnant is one of the major ways that people can be this soil and maybe then demonstrate that they're actually something else. Because we live a long life and we keep interacting with the Word on a regular basis. And so likely you're going to come to something where you realize, oh man, I need to make a change. If you are the good soil, then you will make that change. And I do want us to notice that this good soil is not perfect. Now, I don't think we need to think of this soil as just like completely flawless and they're never going to make any mistakes. But if you are the good soil and you realize you're going down a wrong path, you will turn back. And so if you are here and you believe you're the good soil, keep working, keep being fruitful. But maybe you're here and you realize you're actually the thorny soil. Well, for you, I would say, get focused. Don't get distracted by the things that go on in our lives that we've already discussed. The difference between the good soil and this soil is it's not that the good soil doesn't deal with those things, because guess what? The good soil has to deal with those distractions as well. You know, I don't think there's ever been a single human that hasn't had to worry about any of these things, but the difference is the good soil never allows the focus on other things to overtake their focus on bearing fruit. Fruit bearing is always their number one priority. So if you are here and you are the thorny soil, and you want to choose to be the good soil, then I think that's where you need to start. But maybe you're here and you actually realize you are the rocky soil. You got off to an incredible start. Maybe a long time ago, you were on fire for the gospel. You were going to convert all the nations. You were going to remove sin far, far from your life. But life is hard and things have happened and it's caused you to not be living that way anymore. Now you're kind of lethargic. You're just going through the motions. Well, the only difference I can see between the rocky soil and the good soil is that the good soil actually has a root. It's energized. It's enthusiastic about all these things, but all of that enthusiasm is latched onto being conformed to the kind of person that God wants us to be. Because for the rocky soil, the persecutions and the afflictions of life, it drags them away. For the good soil, the persecutions of life, they actually make us stronger. You know, when the going gets tough, the good soil kind of gets going. And so if you are here and you're in the rocky soil category and you want to be the good soil, focus on how you behave during times of persecution. Focus on your prayer life and reminding yourself that God wants what's best for you even during times of persecution. Or maybe you are the no soil that we talked about in the beginning. Maybe you don't let the word change you. Maybe you're someone here who has been baptized, but you have a weak spot. You've heard sermon after sermon on the topic. You've had people come up to you to try to address this problem. You've even stumbled upon, you know, verses that address that problem as well, but unfortunately you're stubborn and you won't change. Well, choose to be the good soil. Open up your heart and let God change you through his word, because the good soil recognizes that it has changes to make too, and it makes those changes. So if you claim to be the good soil, but you are hardened to the word, then you know what you need to do in order to change. Maybe you're here and you haven't been baptized. You know, you have never decided to obey God's word and let it change you overall. You know, maybe it's because of the family stuff that we talked about earlier, or maybe it's something else. I beg you to reconsider your position. Because if you choose to be the good soil, there is no better life for you. There is no better life than living one that is dedicated for the Lord. You know, the creator of the universe has plans and he has expectations for you. You just got to let his word do the work. Everyone who is good soil is in this position because they were at a point where they were hardened to the word, but they started doing better. And you can start doing better today. So if you're here and you have not been baptized, and you have realized that you do not have any soil, I beg of you to come down to the front and make that right with the Lord here today. If any needs at all, please make them known as we sing this invitation.